Community, a sense of belonging, of being connected with people, knowing that if you don't show up, someone will notice, knowing that people care if you show up or not, having things in common, common values, priorities, beliefs, having people to share things with, joys and sorrows, work and play, meals, stories, burdens, victories and defeats. A community is a group of people that matter to you and to whom you matter. Community comes in many different forms: work communities, friend communities, family communities, service communities, and church communities. As we continue our sermon series, God Shows Up, today we cover God Shows Up in Our Actions, or as I like to sometimes call it and how my sermon kind of worked itself out, service. Some of you may know I spent almost 4 years working to rebuild homes after Hurricane Katrina, mucking and gutting, painting houses, roofing, and stick building whole houses. For 10 of those months, I was a volunteer with the AmeriCorps NCCC, the National Civilian Community Corps, a government-funded program designed to help young adults give back to their country, an alternative to joining the military. I was in a team of 9 18 to 24-year-olds traveling around the South in a 15-passenger van getting things done. While I was in AmeriCorps, we gave back. We gave our blood, sweat, and tears to helping folks rebuild not only their homes but their lives after Hurricane Katrina. We spent so much time serving others that it didn't seem like at the time we were being served. As time has gone by, I've realized now that it seems I was served, just not in the way that I had thought. I was served by the 8 other folks on my team from different economic backgrounds, religious backgrounds, geographical backgrounds, all of us coming together to help one another deal with the craziness that is and was disaster relief. When a dead body fell on top of us when we were mucking and gutting a home in the lower Ninth Ward, that clearly was not searched well enough. We turned to each other to help one another through the traumatic ordeal. We served each other better than anyone could have at the time, because to this day, I truly believe no one else really understood what it was like to be there unless you were. The scripture comes to mind in Galatians chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. You were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only don't let this freedom be an opportunity to indulge your selfish impulses, but serve each other through love. All the law has been fulfilled in a single statement: love your neighbor as yourself. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So what should we do? Should we each take care of our own problems and expect others to do the same? Should we make sympathetic comments to our friends about the difficulties other people seem to be having? Should we just tell folks who are in need to buck up or pull themselves up by their bootstraps and trust in the Lord to help them? I don't think so. We are to bear one another's weaknesses, not just put up with or tolerate each other's weaknesses, but actively use our strengths to help them. We are to serve one another in love. We are to carry each other's burdens. We are to live as those who are responsible to help one another. Who are the weak? I think we all are in different areas. And what kind of burdens is our scripture talking about? Physical burdens, literally carrying burdens, helping people move, other kinds of physical help like raking leaves, cooking meals, cleaning, working on cars, wiring, plumbing, stacking wood, or maybe financial burdens, which this one is tricky because people don't like to talk about their finances and we don't want to be taken advantage of. But even here, people do have financial needs. The government shutdown comes to mind. But you don't have to depend on that. If you are aware of a need for money or goods and you are able to do so, why not take care of it yourself? This can also be allowing someone to have the use of something, a car, a snowblower, anything that you can loan. Burden of caring for someone. Children, elderly parents, disabled family members. Sometimes people's kids can be a burden. After spending a few days last weekend with 9 of my nieces and nephews, I can get on board with this. Emotional and spiritual burdens. People who are grieving, people who have suffered loss, people who are depressed or sad or anxious or worried, people experiencing difficult family situations. We can all help one another bear these kinds of burdens by just being there, by expressing care and concern, by listening, by praying with them and for them, by acknowledging their hurt instead of ignoring them, because we don't want to make it uncomfortable or don't know what to say. Note that this is not an exhaustive list. These are just some examples. The key is to be aware, to be looking for opportunities to serve one another, to have our eyes and ears open for signs of a need we can help meet. Along these lines, I'd like to make another point about community. We build community by using our gifts and abilities to serve one another. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Each one should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others, faithfully administrating God's grace into the various forms. 1 Peter chapter 4, 8 through 10. The point here is a simple one. We could serve one another according to our own gifts and abilities. We shouldn't try to be someone else. God has given each of us the means to be in service to others. We need to use the gifts and abilities, and sometimes it's hard to find a way to serve others. Maybe we don't think we have anything to give anyone else, but we have all been given gifts and graces. Maybe just keep trying things until someone says thank you, and then go with that. We've looked at what to do, but how do we go about it? Here are some ideas for being an effective burden bearer. Serve when needed, not when convenient. Be willing to adjust your schedule and alter your plans in order to serve others in the church. Be willing to make sacrifices in order to serve. Most of us will make sacrifices to get something done we want or to do something we want to do. But when it comes to serving others, suddenly our tolerance for inconvenience shrinks. Look for opportunities to serve. Don't wait to be asked. Talk to people, and what I think, above all, listen to them. Maintain the right attitude, an attitude of joy and thanks at the privilege of serving God by serving God's people. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, their friend can help them up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10 and verse 12. We need one another. It's as simple as that. We need one another for encouragement when we stumble, for mutual protection when we're being attacked, for strength when we are under stress. There is a time, for many of us, when church is a place we come to be served, where we need to hear an inspiring message. We look forward to our favorite hymns and listen to the well-trained choir, to have a pastor pray with us, to have our children taught and our faith encouraged. And then, having been well served, we go home. And that's okay, because we need to be served in our lives. It's just that when we get stuck in that being served attitude, that we're not serving others can be troublesome. And if I'm honest, I have to admit, when I've been church shopping in my past, I've had a mental list of things running. I needed a church to be no praise band, traditional hymns, pews, liturgical calendar followed, adult Sunday school, and some type of adult education. Which I found out this morning, which I guess it's weird, somebody came up to me and said, never have I ever heard of somebody having a list of things to go into a church.
Oh, I hear it all.
Yeah. I had to ask Brad, because I was like, am I weird?
unique.
Unique, that's right. But you know, somewhere in the journey of faith, a transition has happened. I don't know exactly when it happened for me, and you might not be able to point to a date or event when it happened for you, but somewhere, somehow, as Christians, we need to find ourselves moving away from the serve us mentality to more of a service mentality, where the church is no longer a place we go to be served, but to serve. James writes in chapter 2, verse 14, "What's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions?" And in chapter 2, verse 17, "Faith that doesn't show itself by good deeds is no faith at all. It is dead and useless." Here at Highlands United Methodist Church, we are building a home where all belong. I think we really embrace the service. Though through all of our ministries like the garage, quilting, PB&J, Family Promise, and can keep going, a church like ours requires a lot of helping hands and faithful hearts. And according to Jesus, that is a very good thing. You see, the Lord intends for us to be a full service station, equipped and committed to serving the needs of our community. What a beautiful metaphor for us, a full service station for Highlands and beyond. Right now, God is looking for churches like that, like us. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." Do God's eyes land on us? Does God find us fully committed? Jesus puts another spin on it with a story he tells found in Matthew 25. It's a story about the final judgment when Jesus will return to separate his obedient followers from pretenders and unbelievers. The criteria he will use to determine which is whether we put into action the faith we profess out of our mouths. And the service he seeks from us are basic acts of mercy we can do every day. Feed the hungry, give the thirsty something to drink, be kind to a stranger, clothe the naked, and look after the sick. According to God's word, we will be judged less on what we said and what we did in this life and more on what we failed to do when we had the opportunity to serve others. I read a story about a young couple from Arkansas that got involved in a church where they used a lot of shouting and clapping and running down the aisles for Jesus. They were trying to convince their grandmother that she should attend. "You should have seen it," the young man said to his grandma. "The Spirit of God was really there. The music was rocking the place, and it was awesome." Grandma just kept rocking in her chair and didn't say a word. "And Grandma," said the young woman, "you should have heard the preacher. He was really with it today. He was shouting and screaming at the top of his lungs, and people were popping up like popcorn, praising the Lord. It was unbelievable." Again, Grandma kept on rocking. Finally, the young man said, "Grandma, don't you like our church?" Grandma finally rose from her chair to speak. "Honey, let me just put it this way. I don't care how loud they shout. I don't care how high they jump. It's what they do when they come back down that counts." Jesus said, it's not how good we feel when we leave here that counts. It's how we live out our faith on a daily basis and how we respond to the needs of others that is most important. Jesus wants to move us away from a mindset which says the church must serve us to one where we see ourselves as a part of a church that is in service to the people around us. God's vision for us from day one is to become a full service station where each of us are the attendants working together to serve those in need through dramatic worship, exciting Sunday school programs for our children, youth groups, Bible and book studies, journey groups, garage events and programs, and preschool ministries, and on and on and on. We have a lot going on here, and it is awesome. And if you don't know about one of these ministries or want to know what goes on in this building on the other 6 days of the week, please come let Brad or I know, and we'd love to share with you all that Highlands UMC is doing in and for the community. And we are not exempt and no one is exempt from God's service. Each one of us must, with God's help, pray about, discover, then offer to the body of Christ our commitment to serve one another. Amen.